Okay, gentlemen, I want to share with you a moedig vote. As such as vote, I want to share with you this. Such a, I know it's last week's Seder, but it's still going to get to Sorrow. It says in the Pasuk that when Sorrow gave birth to Yitzchak, it says that she called him Yitzchak. I just can't find the Pasuk. There's two pshatim in Rashi why she called him Yitzchak. Kol Hashemei Yitzchak Li, the Pasuk says. One minute, let me just find the Rashi. I thought it was over here in Pasuk. Mi Mila Lavom, yeah? 1 second, isn't Rashi not here, it looks like? Yeah, could be. Wait, come on, 1 second, it should be over here. Choftes? Pasuk Zayin. She called him Yitzchok. Two pshat min Rashi. Kalashmi Yitzchak Li, but I'm not sure. One minute. So the, on the day that she gave birth, okay, I can't see the inside now, but. Where is this Rashi? Okay, Rashi says two pshat him, why she called him, why his name was Yitzchok. Okay, the first pshat is, Yitzchak Li, everybody's going to be excited, because for a lady in her age to give birth is something extraordinary, and people rejoice. For so to give birth in that age is something extraordinary and such a great, was called such a great simcha, and therefore Yitzchak Li will be rejoicing with her of this great simcha. That's the first pshat of Rashi. Rashi says another pshat. Rashi said that on that day that so gave birth, that there was many people who were ill, healed, cholim nisrapu, and people had other problems. There was big yeshuas and salvations on that day that she gave birth. And because of that, those yeshuas and refuas that took place and people got healed on that day, because of that, that was a great simcha, and that's why she called her son Yitzchok, because of the great, the general, universal simcha that happened when she gave birth. So the question is as follows. It never occurred to me, but I saw this question actually today. So I understand that the first pshat in Rashi makes a lot of sense, but the second pshat in Rashi, where does Rashi get that from, or the Medrash really? Where does it get from? It makes sense that she calls a child Yitzchok because of her personal simcha. But the fact that, where did she pick up from that, you know, there was such a great simcha when she gave birth, people got healed, people got better, people had yeshuas, and because of that, people were so happy, and that's why it was Yitzchok. Where did you get that from? It's like, it sounds like a, where does that come from? What's wrong with it? First pshat makes a lot of sense. People were happy about her giving birth, people were excited, people were rejoicing, and that's why she was going to give the name Yitzchok. But the other pshat, where does that come from? That she would give, would be great simcha generally, universally, because it's a bit strange. I saw a very interesting pshat. I saw today's pshat as follows, that the simcha wouldn't be complete. She just gives birth to a baby, and however healthy and happy she is about the baby, that itself is not sufficient cause for simcha for her. If you want soul to be exceedingly happy, and exceedingly, it has to be that it affects others around her as well. Just for her to have personal simcha, and others are still suffering, and others are not well, and others are ill, and others are, that wouldn't be, her simcha wouldn't be complete. For her to have to be able to call a child Yitzchok, for her to have a complete simcha, must be that others also are healed and are better. Because she understood in her greatness, and she was the tremendous balas chesed, she needed to feel that universally, globally, around the people are also helped. And only then she'd feel comfortable to call her child Yitzchok. I thought that was very nice. Well, and together with that, just a nice vote. We're going to carry on in Shulchan Aruch in a minute. There's a very nice story about Miss Kertz. I think we should probably just pass the Shloshim, but It's a nice story. And Nissen Karelitz, Zichron Livrache, he was very involved in Dine Torah. You know, in Yatzol, there's constantly these ongoing disputes and discussions and, you know, neighbors about flats and people making extensions. It's one thing in England, when you're making extensions, you may affect one neighbor on the right, one neighbor on the left, and perhaps one in the back. But generally, it's quite limited. And Yatzol, when you want to make an extension or even the slightest thing, because it's blocks of flat, you're affecting, naturally, you're going to be affecting 25 people around you. And they're all very opinionated. They all have got their own. And it's very complicated. Even I just saw recently a dinner about putting an air conditioning unit somewhere. You know, it makes the noise, it affects the site, it affects it. It's much more complex than here. And the blocks of flat, they do make it very, very, and the noise and everything is really complicated. And there was a person, Nebuch, that had Parkinson and he needed a ramp, and build a ramp onto his flat. He was quite low down in the block, but he needed to build a ramp because he was on a wheelchair now. And Nebuch, he built this ramp and on a wheelchair, and he was, when he was going to help him, to support him, to go up to his flat. Neighbors complained about that. They said it was disturbing there. Half the staircase was gone, and it was also disturbing other things. It was quite a hassle for all the residents of the block. And they went to Mr. Kerlitz and said, this fellow, he's taken half of our staircase and making it quite a business. And it's a complicated thing. And he never, so Mr. Kerlitz said, okay, fine, let me call him in. And he called this he'd never come to the wheelchair, called him. And Mr. Kerlitz asked him, did you make this ramp? And he said, yes, I did. He said, did you take into consideration that others live in the block of flat as well? He said, no, why? I said, listen, you've got 25 people living in this block of flat, and they're all somehow affected by your ramp. Did you consider even asking them? He says, yeah, I didn't want to ask them, because if I ask them, there's going to be so many opinions, and everybody's going to have their own ideas, how I should build, when I should build, where I should build, how I should build, with whom I should build, why I should build. And I couldn't be bothered with all that. So I just said, you know what, I can't wait another year. I'm just going to get on with it and do it. So he said, you know, this is Gezel. You're taking away from other people. Right. It's not your own. It's a shared property. It's a shared area over here. You've got to do it with others. And he told me, this is a property, you know, this is an interior, and we have to see what the next steps are. Finally, the other person was very upset that he went out. As soon as the person went out, Mrs. Kerlitz burst out crying. And this is what the grandchildren said. He burst out crying. And they asked him, why are you crying? You didn't do anything wrong. He says, yeah, but I don't understand how people could be living with the person Nebuch got ill. He got Parkinson's. And they've been living in the block of flat for 10, 20, 30 years together. And all they can think of, when this person Nebuch is ill and needs to go in a wheelchair, all they can think of is about an interior that potentially they lost something. Which they're right. They're right. Halachically, they're right. But where's the menschlichkeit here? Where's the basics of, you know, if person Nebuch needs a wheelchair, then you've got to do this differently. You've got to, the fact that you didn't care sufficiently, and then you're going to escalate it with the interior, that's what's really, really wrong over here. I think it's a brilliant story. Okay. Din chemtza shel ein yehudi shehufkat etzel Yisrael. Okay, we're up to page 20, which is Siman Tov Mem, and we're going to be discussing now a new area of halacha altogether. So far, we've been learning primarily about, okay, the sefer started with 30 days before, of course, and then we started very quickly learning the halachas of Bdikas Chometz, and we've discussed that in great detail, that yes, the minhagim and the brachas, and what requires Bdika, what doesn't require Bdika, all that is completed now. Now we're moving on to the second topic, and the topic is Din Chemtza Shel Ein Yehudi Shehufkat Etzel, which is about, really, it's a definition of the Issa of Bali Roe Bali Motze. It's very, very interesting. It's a really essential few simonim over here. When are you actually Oivon Bali Roe Bali Motze? It goes without saying that if you've got a bread in your house of a Pesach, or Oivon Issa de Reis, or Bali Roe Bali Motze. All right, of course. I also know that if I've got a chometz, which is pure undiluted chometz, and if I'm a house, but I've left it in a different place, but it's still mine, then I'm still oivon bali roi bali motze. The question is, what happens if, for instance, you've got a goy's chometz which is deposited by you? It's in your house. You've got a goy's chometz which is deposited by you. What's going to be that locha then? And it may sound it may sound far-fetched, but it's not so far-fetched, because those who have business deals, and some of them will have chometz dealings. You know, you've got to make sure that this is, or even more so, those of us who buy shares, you've got shares. You know, what do you do with your millions? You probably want to buy shares. You either buy property or buy shares. So that's a real shail, and we're going to discuss that in greater detail later. If you've got shares, do you have shares of any, what are the common shares? If you don't buy it for,
If you don't buy high tech,
the whiskey company, but you're,
absolutely,
but
yeah.
Your shower would probably be so minute.
But you still, it doesn't matter. It's not bottle. So who says that that helps? It's not bottle. Chometz is not bottle. So if you own something which has partially, I know it's very limited, but partial possession of chometz, it's got to be examined how we get out of this. Who says you have to benefit? Who says your bali roi bali motzi is about possessing chometz, even if you're not going to benefit? It's an isra isa bali roi bali motzi. So we'll discuss that in greater detail.
That company will have
own, yeah, but that's not right, which company actually possesses chometz. Now, if you've got shares in IBM, then of course people there working, they have chometz, but that doesn't mean that it's yours. Yeah. I'm referring to something that actually by buying shares of the company, you will legally own part of the company, which is chometz.
Any food or hospitality company.
Yeah. Potentially be a problem, yeah. And we're going to see soon, it's not posh at all. It's not posh at all. And we're going to see how we deal with this in the best possible way.
When someone owns a chedek in a company, they don't actually own... Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they own the items that the company owns.
You may not own the items, but you have a share in it.
I don't own any whiskey. If I've got shares in a whiskey company,
so what do you own? You own... Right, and by owning the... So who owns actually the whiskey? The company. And you own part of the company. So by default, you own part of the company. But you are right, because some person can take a similar approach than you. Okay, let's get there. Let's get the basics first. Okay, Simon Tov, Mem Din Chametzoi, Shel En Yehudi Shehufkat Atzilis Soil. Okay, the initial shaila is any Yehudi Sifal, bottom of page 20, any Yehudi Shehifkit Chametzoi Etzel Yisrael. If you've got a goy who deposited some chametz by the Yid, so the halach is as follows, that's the rule of thumb, we're going to get straight to business. So the bottom line is as follows, if the Yid is chayev be'achayes, the goy left in your house, let's say, two bags of, and he went on holidays, you know, and he said, I've got some really expensive whiskey. I don't want to keep it in my house because that's what Ganovim are after. You know, they want to get the whiskey. So can I just keep a couple of bottles in your house? And he said, sure. He didn't realize he was going to stay until after Pesach. So now very good. Absolutely. That's the point. We're getting to that. So now the shen is as follows. Are you chayv be'achayis? If it's in your house and you've got responsibilities, limited responsibility, but you chayv be'achayis, mignevo ve'avedo, you have got the responsibility to replace it in case it gets lost or broken.
I thought that applied between a Jew and a Jew. Did it apply then in Hashem applies between a Jew and a non-Jew then?
Yeah. Imu chayv b'achayus megnei b'aveido. If you are chayv b'achayus, if you told your goyish neighbor, all right, I'm going to look after those whiskeys, and he said, listen, but if they get lost or broken, I'm telling you now, you've got to replace it. And he said, fine, no problem, I'll look after it. If that's what he said, then the halach is as follows. Bein shu beveisoi, whether you keep it in your house. Bein shu bechol mokim beshusoi, even if you forget about your own house, you're keeping it in somewhere else. It doesn't have to be in your domain, in your property. Nevertheless, chayv nevar, you've got to get rid of it. Because, what's the reason? The reason is, because if you are chayev be'achayes in terms of bali roi bali motze. Here is the point. When it comes to issa, the iraisa of bali roi bali motze, the fact that you are chayev be'achayes, the fact that you have got that responsibility to replace it, because it gets broken or lost, that is sufficient ownership for you to be over bali roi bali motze. So ownership is not defined by kinyonim. Ownership is not defined by where it is. Ownership is not defined, it's only defined by if you are chayv be'achayis. Says Rashi, it says Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Aleph. Imhu, t'ksiv se'oir lo yimotze bevateichem. What's se'oir? Chometz. Yeah, lo yimotze bevateichem should not be found in your houses. Mashma, it implies, afilu ha'se'oir, even if the chometz, einu shelo legamri, even if it is not yours completely. Gam ken osu min ha'tor, it's also forbidden on a Torah level. Mi'u, however, called Pony Meira, Peshekibed Olam Achayis. This is only
Only refers if you're mekabel achayis, you have taken upon yourself responsibility. And the apostle considers it as if it's his through this responsibility. It's considered yours. Because if it's just a general deposit, without responsibility, then you don't have a problem. Because the other apostle says, with Ashinon, the pasuk says the drasha is in the Gemara shel choy atoraya. You mustn't see yours, aval atoraya shel achem, but you may see others. So the point is, if it's in your house, so what will be the halacha, Rabbi Sai, on a Torah level? If he tells you as follows, okay, do you mind to look after those two bottles of whiskey? He will tell him it's fine, and then you tell him, okay, Mr. Goy, but you know I can't take full responsibility if it breaks or it gets lost or anything. I don't want to be responsible for that. And the guy said, that's all right, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Can you then keep those bottles of whiskey in your house? Yes or no?
You have to sell them. You have to sell them?
Like, slowly, 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 slowly. Slowly, good. You're getting straight to the point. But slowly, in on a deraisa level, what do you think? You don't. Because you're not mekabel achayis. That means in theory, you could have goy's whiskey, goes chometz in your house. If you're not taking responsibility for it, it's fine. Yeah, it's not a great idea.
You need his permission to sell it.
You can't do anything with it, yeah. And if something happens to it, it's not your fault. You're not taking responsibility. So when it's sell it, it's for sure okay.
Responsibility for it.
Then it's you have to sell it. You have to get rid of it. Because you took responsibility
and
for
it. So you sell it with all your other chometz.
You can.
Okay. And why is it the guy you've sold it to decides he wants it?
The God, we'll speak about that in Simon Top. We'll speak about that. Who shall be speaking about that in Mitzvah Shem? That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. Because that shows, we will talk about that. Because that's good news. Because that means that the sale was a genuine sale. That's really good news. He's meant to use it.
Yeah, but you didn't have the authority strictly speaking.
Oh, I see. To sell it on. Oh, I see. Right, that's what you mean. I see.
He didn't give you permission to sell it on.
Oh, I see. Well, then it's like a shayla. If he doesn't give you permission to sell it on, yeah. Okay, but you can do it. You just have to replace it then to him. You've got to replace it. If the guy...
What happens if it's very rare bottles of whiskey to be replaced?
Then I don't know what to do. Give him a bottle of... Give him a bottle of grapes and tell him that's what juice, but us, that's more... Now, perhaps... it may make sense to discuss at this point the shine of insurance company. Are there Yidden who own insurance companies here? Yeah, I know in Switzerland it's very common. It's a very Jewish business to own insurance. Is it here? Yeah, insurance.
Certainly brokerages.
Okay. Yeah. Is that all right? Okay. So imagine
insurance companies generally are massive concerns that are owned by lots of shareholders.
Okay. Okay, so brokers, what's the broker's role exactly? He just does the shidduch, right?
Sell
he doesn't actually have more involvement than that, right? Does he have a bit more? It's not more than that.
Or you might find some people that are underwriters.
Underwriters. Okay, let's talk about underwriters then, perhaps. Okay, or actually the insurers. Okay, imagine a Jewish insurer. Could he insure a property? Or which has chometz in it, or even more so, to ensure chometz itself, and that's not so crazy. A person has. Let's go back to the whiskies. If somebody owns a lot of whiskies, and he wants to insure them, doesn't sound so odd. You know, you've got, you want to insure the whiskey. So, could the Jewish owned insurance company insure that? It's a real shaila. Dan Weiss speaks about it. Now, I don't know what the underwriter... Can you tell me more about the underwriter? Does that mean that...
The underwriter's job is to put up the money. So that put up the collateral, so to speak. So that if something did go wrong, they would club together and...
Okay. So he's got some...
It's a lender,
right.
But also with insurance, again, it comes back. If you've sold your chometz to the goy,
Right. You're right. Now, can I just interrupt? Because selling onto the goy, we're going to speak about selling. The mechira is valid and works and illegitimate. Hold on a sec, because we're not quite there yet. The mechira is the equivalent of getting rid of the chametz. And nowadays, that's true. But we do that, and it's common, and it's good, and it works. But imagine people who don't want to sell chametz gomu. People who don't want to sell the whiskey. They have that minik, or the akpoda. They want to be stringent, don't sell whiskey. There's plenty of people out there who do not want to sell the whiskey. They want to sell chametz gomu to a goy. So let's talk about those. So what are you going to do? Is it a problem to own an insurance company, or perhaps even to be an underwriter? That's an interesting question. I don't know about that. And to insure properties, which have whiskey, or to insure the whiskey itself. Is it a problem?
No, because it's not an expression of bias over the comments to insure it. It's simply you're offering the gatherer a service.
Good. And is that so in other words?
You can wriggle away from it if you want to, but I'm not, it's, there's what to wriggle.
What? I can see you're in the trade.
Well, no, I'm not the trader. That's what the insurers do. They wriggle, don't they?
Yeah. So therefore, what? What are you saying? So therefore, what?
So therefore, the shaykhus between the insurer and the chametz is not the fact that the chametz doesn't touch on it really. It's the insurer gives the gatherer a product which covers him in the event of loss. The fact that the item being covered is chametz is almost irrelevant. It's just it's part of the.
So to rephrase what you were saying, which is exactly precise to what Dan Meyer says, in terms of Kabbalah Zachayis, what would you say? Is the insurer Mekabbalah Zachayis?
When you say Mekabbalah Zachayis, you mean...
Is he taking responsibility in clearing...
For replacing the stuff?
He's not replacing the...
You could be a bit even more nuanced with it, and you could say... Reimbursement.
So therefore,
you
what?
You can tweak the policy such that you can make a special condition of the policy if you want to do such that you wouldn't replace it like for like. Then you have, then you get.
They normally don't anyway, do they?
You just pay out cash, and that way they
right. So that's really what they say. So the poskim say that generally it's not a problem because you're not really mekabel achayis for gneiv and aveda. It's not, you know, in a halachic sense, the insurer is not mekabel achayis for it.
They are in a way.
Is it a kabel achayis?
You can arrange the
value,
you
not the item.
The value, right. Not a like-for-like replacement. The
right. So I suppose that's. So if it's not, you're not replacing the item, you're just replacing the loss, kind of. So therefore, it's not.
If the guy leaves his comments and you're offered whiskey and you're an else, and you're Makawala Christ, does that mean you're going to give him back whiskey if it gets stolen? You're also going to probably only give him money.
Good point. Good point.
If you're personally being Makabla Christ, then you have more of a shaykhus with the scholar, don't you?
It's an interesting point what you're saying.
But you could get out of paying the money.
If you're Makabla Christ such that you replace it like for like, then you're
fine. I think that, can I just, perhaps what the difference is between a person who's generally, if you look after the guy's whiskey as opposed to the insurance company, there might be one significant difference. Do you have to look after it? If you're looking after two bottles of whiskey which belongs to the goy, do you have to look after it? That's why I asked you to look after it. Does the insurance company have got any duty and responsibility to look after it? Of course not. So there's a distinct difference between them. So there's a you're a shomer, and that's why the insurance company, however, is not in any way considered a shomer. Yeah. Probably. And Apotepas is not, So once you've got a dinei shmira, once you are guarding the items, then you've got chai b'chayis, and that's why. If there's no shmira, so therefore, even if you have to replace it, it's a service, or whatever, it doesn't come from dinei shmira, and therefore, you're not oivon bali or bali motze. But it is definitely an interesting question. The Meister, the poskim, say that they do not need to...
Shmira on the gavra rather than
the chayis. Yeah, oh, very interesting. That's
the insurance company is being shown by the gavra's bottom line, whereas the shomer is
the item, the actual item,
very
right?
Very good. Okay, Rabbi said it's just a bit of a starting conversation about this fascinating halachas more to follow Mitzvah Shemin this week in future Shiur Meiz Hashem. I wish you a very good evening.